Hello, this is David Brim, and I'm the founder of Orlando Entrepreneurs. We are the hub for Orlando entrepreneurship, and our mission is to connect, cultivate, and celebrate our local entrepreneurs. We bring together our local entrepreneurial ecosystem to help impact our entrepreneurs, their companies, and our local economy. Learn more at OrlandoEntrepreneurs.org. Now over to Josh Wilson to get forward with our show.
Good day, guys. Josh Wilson here with Orlando Entrepreneurs. I get to travel around, talk to entrepreneurs here in Orlando, hear their story, and share it with you, my audience, to give you guys this hope, inspiration, education, and to show you guys that Orlando is an incredible place to build, to grow, and to stay here when you have a big business. All right. So on today's show, I'm really excited about interviewing Nathan Hirsch of FreeUp. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Josh, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, cool, man. So tell us about you and your company.
Sure. So my entrepreneurial path started when I was 20 years old. I started buying and selling textbooks out of my college dorm room just to make a little extra money on the side, beer money. And that slowly blossomed into much more. I had lines out the door of people trying to sell me their books. Eventually, the school bookstore sent me a cease and desist letter to knock it off because I was taking up too much of their business. And I thought I had something there. And I learned a lot about selling books online to different vendors and eventually came across Amazon. And this was back in 2008, 2009. So no one really knew what Amazon was. There were no courses. There were no gurus. I was in there at a very early stage. And I became addicted to it, obsessed with it. All I wanted to do was become an Amazon seller. And no one really understood what that meant. So I tried selling everything, selling cool products, sporting equipment, DVDs, computers. Couldn't get anything to sell on Amazon, only books. And it wasn't until I got a little bit outside my comfort zone that I found the baby niche. And that really took off. And I was drop shipping baby products out of my college dorm room. So I was a 20-year-old single guy selling baby products out of my college dorm room.
Did you have kids at the time?
No, I was a 21-year-old single college guy, no kids, sophomore, junior in college.
Slinging baby gear.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And that escalated quickly. Before I knew it, I was running a $1 million a year Amazon business out of my college dorm room. People thought I was running a scam. No one thought that being an Amazon seller was a real job. No one understood that at the time. But things were getting a little out of control. I was getting tons of orders, tons of customer service email, trying to balance school and getting good grades and everything that goes along with that. So it came time to hire, and I had to get some stuff off my plate. So I hired my employee. I hired my first employee, and that was Connor, who you actually interviewed on a different podcast. And great hire. It worked out. We've been working with him for 8 years. So I thought hiring was going to be easy. Well, I proceeded to make a lot of bad hires after that. That cost me a lot of time, a lot of money. And I just wanted there to be a better way. And I also was exposed to the remote hiring world, the Upworks of the world, Fiverrs. And I started building a VA army. And what I quickly realized is I had a pretty good hiring process after a lot of experience, but there was just so much time that it took me to interview those people, and I wanted to build a better marketplace that pre-vetted, and that's when I came up with the idea of FreeUp 3 years ago.
Wow, that's an interesting story. So we started slinging textbooks. What were you going to school for?
So I went to school starting off with business, but on the first day of college, they had all the teachers go up, all the professors, and they would say, hey, you should join economics for this reason, finance for this reason. And they had this brand new entrepreneurship program. And the lady goes up and she just says, if you ever want financial freedom, if you ever want life freedom, you have to become an entrepreneur. And that was it. And it just stuck with me. And from there, I majored in entrepreneurship and never looked back.
Yeah. And so you're slinging books and baby gear out of your dorm room. People lining out the doors. The school actually had to shut you down because you were taking too much of their profits. And you're making, you know, you're doing over $1 million a year on Amazon back before Amazon was Amazon. And you know, what was it like learning and growing from this entrepreneurial program, which was new at the time, and then also having this early success, being a young guy with this early success, now sitting in school, trying to learn from potentially old textbooks too.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was an interesting experience where I was learning how to be an entrepreneur while also learning in real life how to be an entrepreneur. And sometimes stuff would cross up where I'd make a mistake and then we'd learn about it. And if I'd only learned about it a week before, I would have made a different decision, and vice versa. I learned things that I was able to implement in real time. So it was a really cool experience.
Did you find any of your teachers asking you for help with their business or teaching?
I did not, no. I had great professors, but I would go to them and I would explain what I was doing. I would explain Amazon and drop shipping and e-commerce, and very few of them even understood it. They couldn't tell me if it was okay to even do. They didn't understand that the tax implications behind it or anything that was going on, besides one teacher who kind of took me under his wing and really kind of pointed me in the right direction. He saw the e-commerce industry coming from a mile away.
Awesome. When you were going to school and your parents or your family knew what you were doing, like, was it hard to explain to them what you did for this kind of money and how you were making a living while in college?
So my parents understood the business model because I spent a lot of time explaining it to them, so they got it. But you have to remember, they're teachers. My dad taught in my high school, and my mom was my kindergarten teacher. So their mentality is, you go through life, you get good grades in high school, get a scholarship for college, good grades in college, get a job, work for 30, 40 years, retire. So me running my own business was definitely a little bit outside of their comfort zone, but they were incredibly supportive along the way. They wanted me to do what made me happy, and they knew that these full-time summer jobs that led to internships that could have led to a job after college, they could see I didn't like doing it. So they wanted me to do something that I liked.
Awesome. So through your early success as an entrepreneur and selling things online, books, baby gear, what was the next thing that you started selling online?
So we did baby products, we did home goods, we did toys, and then we had a bunch of random products that no one would think of. So, you know, during Halloween, people get those inflatables, they pay $150 and they use them one time and then they put them away. We found a great niche in that before other people caught on to it. Lots of just little things that you wouldn't think of. Wooden bookcases that were cheap that people could buy and get them shipped right to them. It's kind of always trial and error. That's really how I've become an entrepreneur. I just try lots of different things and see what sticks and invest my time and money into those.
Is there one product in your brain that really stands out as like one of your best producing products ever that you wish you could duplicate that every day?
Yeah, it was these bookcases that you would buy at Walmart, and they were $20, and I would sell them for $45 to $50, so I was making a pretty great margin. They were probably about the length of the table, you can't see it, but 2 feet to ship, and people buy them like crazy. There were days that I would sell 40 of them on a single day when I was running the business by myself, so it was all profit. It was pretty crazy.
So you were buying a table or a bookshelf from Walmart and then reselling it for double the money.
Yeah, people still do it nowadays. There are people that run large businesses just going to, I mean, Toys R Us is going out of business now. I have a client who's having someone just call every Toys R Us to find out what discounts they're giving so they can go buy the products and list them on Amazon.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. Yep. That's really smart. So as your business started to grow and you were selling all these products, I'm sure you were swamped with tasks and with just keeping up with all the projects, the emails, the customer support. Like, what did that look like before you made your first hire, Connor?
I mean, I'm a workaholic, so it looked like me working up early, getting stuff done before I had to go to class, clearing out emails, making sure everything was 100%, going to class, checking emails on my phone on the way to class, sitting in the back of class listing products, constantly seeing how many sales we're getting. And I was laughing at this conference I was at, SellerCon. I stopped by to say hi to some people, and they were saying, on your phone, if you're an Amazon seller or an eBay seller, you're just looking at sales like all the time. You just keep refreshing. And the same thing now with my new business, FreeUpa, I'm just refreshing. Oh, this many clients signed up. Hey, this many hours we build. But as an entrepreneur nowadays, that becomes the norm. And that's very much the way that I've kind of kept myself involved in the company as days go by.
That's awesome. So you hired Connor. You guys like worked out really well. You guys have been working together for 8 years. Really great guy. You made a few bad hires. Talk to us about like what it looked like when you made a bad hire from like one of these other platforms, the FreeUp, the Upwork, Freelancers,
Fiverr, and such. So we had this one person that we hired for customer service. And we, when we moved, so I went to school in Connecticut, we moved to Florida, we opened up an office, we had internal employees. We also had a lot of remote staff as well. And so we hired this person for customer service, and we spent a few weeks training him. And our customer service manager, which was in-house, left his laptop open, and they took a break for lunch. And it was behind, if you can imagine, a room that had a glass screen. So the whole office could see into the room, but the person on the other end on the computer couldn't really see out. So this guy during his lunch break proceeded to watch porn on his laptop in front of the entire office. If you think of every HR violation that was. So I come back from lunch. I had left to go out. I come in, everyone's face is just horrified. There's porn going on in the background. And I'm thinking to myself, what just happened? They don't teach you that in school, how you handle that. So led to a meeting, had to fire that guy. But I mean, we've had the craziest things happen hiring people from all these different marketplaces.
Holy moly. Yeah, I could imagine the conversations that happened out of that. So you, after hiring a ton of people, firing few, and just learning how to hire, you wanted to find a better way to hire and work with people, right? So talk to us about what that led into.
Yeah, so I always just wanted a faster way to get access to talent. If I needed a graphic designer for 10 hours, I didn't want to wait 2 weeks to go through applicants to find that person for 5 hours. So after searching and searching and not finding it, I eventually built it myself with Connor. And that's what FreeUp is. We get hundreds of applicants every week. We vet them not only for their skill, but their attitude and their communication as well. We take the top 1% and we make them available to clients all around the world. First come, first serve. So clients like it, free to sign up, fast access. You put in a request, we fill it quickly. And on the back end, we took that same customer support that I did in my book business and my Amazon business to make it 24/7, where I have people that monitor my Skypes and emails all the time. And we added a no turnover guarantee, because as a business owner, I know how frustrating it is to have someone walk out the door. If someone quits, we cover all replacement costs and get them someone new right away, so their business doesn't take a step backwards.
All right, so let me get this straight. You have a whole army of freelancers that are in the marketplace right now, and I don't have to wait 2 weeks and go through a bunch of different types of proposals or reviews or applications, right? I could say, hey, Nathan, this is the kind of person I'm looking for. And then what happens?
So you put in a request, and we've probably had someone that since this podcast started, put in a request and has already started working with a freelancer. It's incredibly fast. We say a business day, it's usually hours or minutes. We'll introduce you to 1 to 3 options. You can meet with them, make sure you like them. If you like them, click hire. If you don't like them, click pass, provide us feedback, and we'll get you someone else based on that feedback. It's rapid fire access to people that we've already spent time vetting.
Okay, so if for the freelancer, this is good because they can get quick jobs. They get introduced by you guys, which is a warm introduction. They get recommended by you guys saying that this is the best person for this job. And then if someone passes on them, do you provide that feedback to the freelancer so they could get better?
If the client wants us to. I mean, it's part of the business if you're a freelancer. You're going to get rejected just like a business owner. We've both been rejected plenty of times when you go in and try to close a sale. It happens, and these people are professionals. But from a freelancer side, you have to remember there's two parts of their job, right? It's doing the work and finding clients. So we're almost like their agents. We're providing access to these clients that we've already sold on the FreeUp process. They get fast access. They don't have to compete against 50 other freelancers for that one project. It's very limited to 1 to 3. And then on the back end, we protect them, and we have a great community of freelancers. They get to interact with people that have the same skill set as them through Skype. And we provide a lot of content on how to grow your freelance business, and we're really there to help them. I mean, I've built a lot of great relationships with freelancers all around the world just by being in the marketplace. So we really wanted a marketplace that was great, not only for the clients, but for the freelancers as well.
That's great. Now, you guys have a no turnover policy, right? So what's that mean for a business owner?
Yeah, it's a no turnover guarantee. So if you hire someone to build your website and they disappear halfway through it, we're going to get you someone else and cover whatever cost it takes to get them back on track, so that you're never paying for that onboarding more than once. If you hire a customer service rep in the Philippines and you train them for 3 weeks, and then they quit on you in 3 months, we'll cover the first 3 weeks of that next freelancer, whatever it takes to make you whole again.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, so that's on the freelancer side of the business, right? So if I'm a graphic designer, or if I'm a, you know, give me some examples of other type of freelancers that are on the platform.
Yeah, I mean, we have everything from, and keep in mind, we're about 40% US, 40% Philippines, and 20% scattered around the world. So we have everything from Excel data entry customer service to graphic designers, bookkeepers, people who write content, people who specialize in Amazon, eBay, Shopify, all the way to your top marketers, your web developers, people who can do PPC, Facebook, Amazon, Google at a very high level. We have people who can audit your business, audit parts of your business, top level consultants. So it really is a wide range from $5 to $75 an hour to whatever you need at your point in your business.
Okay, so on the other side of the coin, because you have a two-sided market, you help business owners fulfill a need that they have at that very moment. Talk to us about the services that, you know, a business owner can do through this. You mentioned a few there.
Yeah, so the best way to think of it is you've got basic level, mid-level, and expert level freelancers. Basic level people are followers. They're for clients that have their systems and processes in place. A lot of times you'll see people who've been doing day-to-day operations over and over. They're there to get you out of them. They're $5 to $10 an hour, non-US. They have years of experience because we're not a marketplace for newbies, but they're really there to follow your systems and your processes. The way that you want it done is not the same how another client would. Then you've got the mid-level, the specialists, the bookkeepers, graphic designers, writers. These people, they're doers. They do the same thing 8-10 hours a day. You're hiring them not to teach them, not to consult with you, but to get projects done at a high level when you need them. And then you've got the experts, the 25 and up, the consultants that can come in, they can project manage, they can help create systems and processes for basic level freelancers. They can consult, they can audit your business, parts of your business, give you high level advice and get different options. So depending on whether you're trying to turn a weakness into a strength and hire a high level person to do something that wouldn't be a good use of your time to figure out how to do, or you've just been stuck doing the same thing month after month after month and you just need to stop doing it to focus on bigger picture stuff, there's a need, there's a people available that can help you do that.
That's awesome. Talk to us about some of the businesses or business types, and maybe you could give an example of some of the clients that you have, so that way people in the audience could go, oh, that's like me, and maybe I could use a platform like this to help me be better, smarter, faster, more profitable.
Sure. So I'll drop Norman Farr's name because I know he doesn't mind. And he's a good client of ours. I talked to him once on the phone and he had a team of freelancers and said, oh, this is great. I like the concept. I'll keep you guys in my back pocket. You never know when something will change. Well, he made the classic business owner mistake of putting all his eggs in one basket. He hired a family of people to run his business, people that were related, they all knew each other. And a lot of people do this in different ways, whether you find one person you like and you just load them up with everything instead of diversifying, or you do what he did and you hire a group of friends. I did the same thing when I was in college. I hired a group of people that all knew each other and I thought that it added a lot of value. Well, one day he pissed one of them off, who knows how, and the entire family, his entire business operation quit on him on one day. So he comes to me in total panic mode, not knowing how he's gonna get through the next week, and I essentially told him, relax, like this is why we talked before, we're pretty fast, and within 24 hours, we had gotten him a completely new team of freelancers. He spent a few days onboarding them, getting them on the same page, and his business proceeded forward as normal. In the normal situation, if you use Upwork, if you use Fiverr, that could take you a month or two. Your business might not recover. It might be set back because of it. You might lose clients. So that is one example, an extreme example on how we've helped a pretty big name client in the e-commerce industry.
That's awesome. Could you give me some other examples of different type of work? So we have Nate Norman who is doing e-commerce. What about other types of business?
Yeah, so Jim Bunch is a public speaker. He uses FreeUp for a lot of different things. It could be managing different projects. He's always working on new ideas. It could be answering customer emails or a small graphic design project that just comes up on his plate. And what he'll do and what a lot of other agencies that we work with will do is they'll build a Rolodex of freelancers. So they might not have work every single day, but they'll find two writers they like, three graphic designers they like, put them all in a group chat on Skype, on Slack, whatever you use. Whenever you have a project, you post in there, whoever can get to it first cranks it out for you. It's a very efficient way to run your business rather than every time a project comes up, scrambling to find someone to do it.
That's a great way to look at it. So he has these people that he's worked with in the past and he's a public speaker. So he gets paid to go out, find a gig, speak the gig, get paid for it. And there's a lot of things. So he's probably traveling a lot. So there's a lot of like small details that he has to maintain throughout the day. So he posts it in a group. The first one to grab it gets the opportunity. But it's people that he's worked with in the past. So that's super smart. What else, man? Give us some more success stories or some examples so we can learn with you.
Yeah, so I got a funny one. Will Mitchell from Startup Bros, he uses us for a lot of different things. And he structures his business incredibly well. I like to teach other people to do it how he does it. So he has internal employees that handle something he just wants to totally take off his plate. Let's say marketing content. So he has a marketing content manager. They're full-time. They're constantly pushing out content. They're in charge of the whole thing. But then he gives each of them a VA to help do small data entry tasks that pop up. And he uses a bunch of different people. He usually is that hiring that basic level person, that $5 to $10 an hour person to do stuff off it, to take stuff off their plate. And it's incredibly addicting. Once you don't have to do little things anymore, you want to do it more. And once you realize, hey, that person that I'm paying $70,000 a year, I'm now actually getting $70,000 a year worth of value because they're not spending 30% of their time doing small tasks, incredibly addicting. And he took it to the next level. One year, I believe it was last year, he actually hired a VA to run his fantasy football team. So that was new. But there's really endless possibilities of how you can use virtual assistants nowadays.
Oh, that's great. So where do you think that this is going? Where do you guys want to see Free Up go, you and Connor and your team? Where do you want to see it go in the future?
Yeah, so if you look at the trends, this is what's happening. The remote workforce is taking over. In 10 years, 50%, over 50% of the workforce is going to be working remote. So if you're not taking advantage of that as a business owner, you're missing out. Your competitors are, and you really have to get involved. With that said, we are incredibly excited about FreeUp because we feel like we are changing the way that the remote workforce has been operating, because Upwork and Fiverr changed everything. It made people get access to other freelancers all around the world, but they've been doing it the same way for years now, and no one has come up with a faster, more efficient way and a better quality way as well, because you see a lot of freelancers that, in my opinion, shouldn't be there on these big name marketplaces. So we want to change that industry. We've been growing rapidly. This is year three. We started off just doing Amazon because that was our background. Hey, here's our Rolodex at Amazon VAs. Those people told other Shopify communities, Walmart, eBay. So we expanded, and now we do everything from real estate to marketing agencies to lawyers hiring an assistant. We have all of that. So what we're trying to do is to branch into lots of different industries, show them how they can utilize their time better, how they can expand using these remote freelancers. And we're trying to double our business this year.
Oh, that's exciting. So in your platform, you provide freelancers the ability to get jobs quickly, so you're arming them with the ability to find work. Businesses, you're allowing them to become more profitable by focusing on like higher revenue potential opportunities and actions. And you're teaching both sides of the coin. You're teaching the freelancers how to be better freelancers, and you're teaching the business owners how to systemize their business and how to hire people and how to do that. Is that right?
If they want to be taught. There's plenty of people that, I mean, it's not my job to go in and tell people how to run their business. We have the content there and we're willing to help if they want us to. The only part that you left out is we back it up on the back end with great support. If stuff doesn't get done right, if you don't have a good experience, we're there quickly, rapid fire to figure out what can we do to make this right and keep everything moving forward, and the no turnover guarantee as well.
So that's pretty good. So I'm a small business owner and I'm thinking of, should I hire a freelancer? Should I hire, a virtual assistant? Like, what are some of the pain points that you see business owners go through that you're like, you need to hire someone?
So I have what's called a 3-month rule. I don't do anything longer than 3 months without taking it off my plate. And this is something that I learned back from my Amazon days because I was not qualified to do QuickBooks, but yet I was doing QuickBooks every month, reconciling all my sales. And it was pointless. I eventually hired a VA that was way better at me for way less of the cost of my time to do it. And he does it at a high level. And I do the same thing with FreeUp. So, I mean, one of the biggest mistakes people make is they're stuck inside their business. They're doing these day-to-day operations, things that aren't actually making them more money. It's not actually getting them more clients. Could be responding to emails, could be that bookkeeping work. It's stuff that maybe they're not good at, like updating their website, whatever it is, and they haven't figured out how to get out of it. And this is just a great solution for that, where they don't have to hire someone full-time. They can use a part-time VA, 5 hours a week, one-time projects, whatever it is, to get stuff off their plate.
So I'm going to be transparent here and say I've got some faults that I just like smacked myself in the face today and said, why am I doing this time and time again? So for example, podcast interviews. I take these podcast interviews and then I go and I put the intro on the front, the outro on the back. It's something that I could teach to probably, you know, someone who loves doing those kind of things and trimming audio. So that I could probably use a virtual assistant for, right?
Yeah, we have lots of podcast owners, a lot of podcasts that I've been on that will try out the service, whether it's video editing or posting on social media. I know Jeremy Weiss, who won't mind that I mention his name either. He does it for lots of small projects that come up. I mean, I've never owned my own podcast, but I know it just from talking to you before we got on, there's so much stuff that just goes into it that you don't think of. Things pop up. There's just so much to do. And that really goes for any business.
Yeah, like coordinating calendars, emails back and forth. Now, maybe you could give us some email tips, right? So email is getting to a point where business owners and people are just managing like four different emails accounts or four different calendars. How could a virtual assistant help a business owner with that?
Great question. I actually had a phone call with someone this morning that was totally lost. She knew she had to do it. Her and her husband ran a real estate business, and they were getting 200 to 300 emails a day, and they couldn't keep up with it, but they had no idea where to start. So I just told her how I do it. So I have someone that works from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. every morning, and then again from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., and then I have assistants during the day that monitor stuff as well, but they're the main people that check my emails. So what I did was I made a list of all the different types of emails I get. In my situation, client emails, partner emails, podcasts, freelancers, complaints, whatever makes sense for your business. And then for each of those, I come up with the most likely situations that happen. When a client emails, they have questions about the service, they need a freelancer, they have a complaint or whatever it is. So I figured those out, and then I created canned responses for each one of those. And what I did was I taught them to use the canned response, and you're not going to be able to map out everything, but I had them create drafts for emails. And for the first few days, they would go through using the canned response, tweak each canned response to make sense in their mind, and create drafts and leave them for me. And then I would go in and I would edit them, and I would essentially teach them and be like, hey, good job, you followed my advice, but when this happens, you do this. When this happens, you do this. And you slowly teach them, because the average person might get 30 different types of emails. They're all very similar in some way. And then I also teach them the do not touch emails. Hey, and this client is really upset. You're emailing them saying, hey, I'm gonna let Nate know right away. Hey, this is a VIP client. When he emails, let me know so that I can be the one to respond back. Whatever it is for your business, there's gonna be emails that you don't want anyone else to handle, and they know to leave those for me. And if you do that for a week or two, you have a very solid process to build on, and you can continue to improve it and push it to get to a point where eventually your emails are completely outsourced like mine are today, but I'm still involved in the emails. I still know what's going on. It's just when someone asks a small question, I don't have to be the one to answer it.
That's great. And if your VA needs you or flags you up for a specific email, that's when you step in.
Yeah, and you encourage them to ask questions, and you also encourage them to bring ideas and feedback to the table on how we can make this process even better.
That's great, man. So I think that's really great input, because I get a lot of emails. Not 300 a day, man. Those people are rocking it. What advice do you have for business owners? Do you have any advice when it comes to looking for specific type of work or a specific type of virtual assistant?
Sure. So there's really two lists that you need to create as a business owner. The first list is everything you do on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. And you should order it from easiest to hardest, circle the three easiest things, and that's your starting point. You try to take those things off your plate. The other list is everything you're bad at. So Connor and I did this activity back when it must have been year five of our business. We were stepping on each other's toes a little bit. Business was doing well, but we thought it could be doing better. So for an hour, we sat out on the porch and we just went back and forth at each other. You're good at this, you're bad at this. brutally honest, like to the core. Hey, you're a terrible writer. Hey, like your people managing skills are not good. Whatever it is. And at the end of it, we realized that we complement each other very well, which was good. We had opposite skill set, which was you want in a business owner. But we also had this list of things that both of us were bad at. We were still doing them all the time, and we were still in charge of them. So what we did is we started hiring for those weaknesses, hiring high-level people to turn those weaknesses into strengths, and that really accelerated our business. So yes, I could spend the next 6 months learning how to become a Facebook ad expert. Not a great use of my time. Instead, I want to hire a Facebook ad expert to take that off my plate and do it at a high level. And a lot of people are not utilizing those high-level people in their business the right way.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, so for a business owner who's doing these tasks, repetitive tasks, time and time again, or maybe they're trying to serve their clients and they're stuck because they don't know how to do something. So instead of going and learn it, they could go and hire a specialist or, you know, hire someone to do those menial tasks. What's a good way for a business owner out there listening into this podcast to find you, to learn more about the company, or maybe to even hire someone?
Well, this is an Orlando podcast, so I'm very easy to contact. I live right in Winter Park on the edge of Orlando. We're actually at my place right now. So if you find me on LinkedIn or social media or my website, or right on the website is my phone number and my email address is nathan@freeup.com. Reach out to me. I'd love to meet up, love to grab a drink, love meeting other entrepreneurs. Now, if you just want to talk about FreeUp, you don't want to meet in person, my calendar is right at the top of freeup.com. You can book a time with me. It will be me. It won't be my assistants. And we'll figure out what we can do to actually help your business.
Got it. So if there's a business owner out there right now, or just someone in business, and they would like some help through other people, they could reach out, go up to FreeUp. And all these links will be in the show notes, but they could go up FreeUp, they could find you on LinkedIn, or they could reach out to you, and they could book a time right now to talk with you, to get some advice, and to show how FreeUp can help them with their business.
Yeah, and even after that, if you go to freeup.com, if you create a free client account and mention this podcast, we're going to give you a free $25 credit to your account to get you started hiring freelancers.
So you're going to give someone 25 bucks essentially to go hire the first person to get them used to or get them in the experience of hiring a virtual assistant.
Definitely. I mean, I'm not going to say there's no risk because there's always a risk when you hire someone, but it's there for you to try it out to see if you like it. And me and my team are there to help and support you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, is there anything that you'd like to talk about that maybe I didn't mention, or is there anybody that you'd like to give a shout out to say thank you? Is there anything that pops to mind?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to the Orlando community in general. They've been incredibly supportive from going to Canvas to different meetups and masterminds that I've gone to. When I moved to Orlando, I moved here because I didn't like Stamford, Connecticut. I moved here because there were tax benefits. I love warm weather. It was just that those were more the reasons, but I didn't realize how much of a booming community it is for startups. And it's been so great just meeting different entrepreneurs in the community that are so passionate about what they do. And it's really my privilege that I've been able to help so many of them and work with them day in and day out.
Awesome, man. Yeah, definitely a shout out to Orlando. Orlando does have a thriving community, and it's my pleasure to help bring that together and give a voice to the community and meet awesome people like Nathan and share his story. So Nathan, thanks for coming on the show and telling us about who you are, and what you're doing, and how you're serving business owners and entrepreneurs out there. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
All right. And fellow entrepreneurs listening into this podcast show, thank you for being loyal listeners and for commenting, for liking, for sharing, for subscribing, and just being a part of this as we highlight other entrepreneurs just like you on the show. So let's lift up this community together and let's help build Orlando entrepreneurs together. Guys, we'll see you on the next episode. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening in on today's episode. If you would like to be a guest on the show or start up a conversation with me, Josh, your host, send me an email to josh@orlandoentrepreneurs.org. You can also find out more information on Orlando's entrepreneurial ecosystem, discover resources to help you start and grow your business, and subscribe to future shows by visiting www.orlandoentrepreneurs.org.